Ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Optimize Your Body Podcast. It's just me here today doing a solo cast, and it's been a while. I'm going to answer some questions for the audience. I always get really good feedback from these episodes, and I haven't done one for a while. And people on Instagram the other day, I put a little post out there, and I had quite a few good questions coming in, ladies and gents, which I think you're going to get a ton of value from. So before we get into it, right, I just want to let everyone know here that I'm going to be putting my prices up for my 90-day coaching program, right? I'm going to put the price up in 3 to 4 weeks. Now, I know a lot of you have been sitting on the fence for a while about working with me. And now is an opportunity because I'm going to be taking on 4 more people at this price. So I'm putting this offer out there right now. And then the prices are going up after the next 4 people sign up. Now, within 90 days, you're going to build a significant amount of muscle and achieve drastic strength gains. You're going to drop 4 to 6 kilos of body fat. That's not total weight. This is fat, a significant amount of body fat you're going to lose. Also, you're going to really build some solid structure and routine with your training and nutrition. And, you know, you're going to have access to a world-class coach, full accessibility. So not to mention, you'll be part of our thriving community at Optimize Your Body, which is literally a game changer. It's so amazing how, you know, there's so many like-minded people in our tribe. So anyway, big opportunity for you. All you've got to do is just drop me a DM with the word info on Instagram. At Martin Silver Fitness Instagram, drop me a DM with the word info. If you've been sleeping under a rock and you're not on Instagram, simply drop me an email. admin@optimizeyourbody.com is my email address. Now, optimize is spelt with an S-E on the end, remember, not Z-E on the end. I know most of you are from America listening to this, so it's Z-E on, S-E on the end, not Z-E. Or if you want to go the long way, there's a bloody coaching inquiry form in the show notes beneath this, but it just takes longer and it's not necessary. So massive opportunity for you, ladies and gents. I can't keep these prices in, you know, this price locked in for any longer because my accountant will absolutely kill me. So anyway, that's that. I'm sure you'll understand as well. Obviously, you know, rising costs of everything, and, you know, we've been making the program better and better. So it's got to be done. So don't miss out on that, ladies and gents. Anyway, let's get stuck in. So first question is, I eat a carnivore diet around about 80% of the time. It works for me, but I struggle to stick to it on weekends. I find myself hitting the off button, as you say, Martin. I dropped 15 kilos. Well done, by the way. I just want to say, dropped 15 kilos. That's awesome. But I've been stuck at this weight now for the past 6 months. If anything, I've actually gained fat over the last 6 months. Now, what you're going to look at here is, the final part of the question was, what is the best approach for me to be able to lose this fat and keep it off? Carnivore works for me. But I'm stuck and I need help. So basically, let me just explain this in a way which is going to be really effective. Now, when it comes to any diet, whether that's carnivore approach or any type of diet you're doing, or even in fact, just using the word diet in your head is already potentially going to make you feel restricted. So in a sense, when it comes to long-term success, you've kind of already lost if you keep finding yourself using the word diet. I'm following this diet, whatever diet that is, because that means automatically that you're restricted from eating certain things, right? Because it's a diet, right? So first and foremost, what you're going to look at is, you know, eating this way, if you find yourself, you know, 80% of the time you're eating carnivore. And by the way, I want to say, ladies and gents, I get this a lot. I've had quite a few clients come through the carnivore space. And just in general, the people I've coached, it's the sustainability. It's the weekends. It's social events where they can stick to a certain way of eating perhaps in the week like this person, but then they'll go overboard and sabotage on the weekends, right? Or when they go on holiday or any of that kind of stuff. So what we need to look at is a lot of people, you know, you're probably looking at this, right? The person who's wrote this question, you're probably looking at it in a way where, you know, I can't eat these foods, right? This is probably what's going on in your head. I'm going to guess because I know these patterns. You're saying, you know, I'm eating carnivore, which means I can't have these other foods, right? I'm just got to eat carnivore, at least in the week. I got to be as strict as possible because this works for me. And you've had some success doing this as well, right? You've lost 15 kilos and you've obviously had some tremendous success. But this works for me and I'm going to stick to this because it keeps me in check with the way I eat. And it stops me going off track when I have a diet, when I'm eating carnivore, right? And, you know, we all know when you're having a carnivore type diet, you're having high protein, you're having whole foods, you're not having hardly any sugar or much sugar. Therefore, you're less likely to overeat, right? There's a lot of value in that, of course. But on the flip side, you are obviously being overly restrictive because you're saying on the weekends, you find yourself hitting the off button and going back to square one. So you said your weight stayed the same for the last 15 kilos. Perhaps for anyone in the audience who can relate to this, you might have been stuck at the same weight or plateau for a long time following a certain way of eating. So what's happening is you're obviously not in a calorie deficit for a start because your weight's staying the same. So you're stuck in maintenance calories. So what's likely happening, or what's definitely happened in this case, you're in a calorie deficit in the week because you're being quote unquote strict with the carnivore diet. Weekend comes around, social events, hit the off button, go overboard, and then you're basically back into maintenance calories because you've been in a surplus, a big surplus for those 2 days on the weekends or 3 days from Friday, wherever it is. So you're canceling out those days where you've been in the deficit. Now, there's no reason for you to feel ashamed or to feel like it's your fault, because it's simply a case of the approach you're doing is not going to work long term. And I'm going to tell you right now, you may be listening to this or watching this and they're saying, well, this works for me. If I go cold turkey and I eat carnivore, this works for me. And you probably have had a lot of success because you've been very disciplined and you've applied a lot of willpower to eat a certain way to actually get these results, and to eat carnivores work for you for a period of time, but it's simply not working anymore. Now, I always say this, but I've coached so many people and I've been through this journey myself, and so has my girlfriend Janini, right? And everyone, this is the best approach. Listen up, because this is based on research. Well, not so, I don't want to go too much into the research. This is based on all the people I've coached and all the wisdom, but the research is now pointing to the fact that it needs to feel easy, what you're doing, right? That the most sustainable way to lose weight is doing the easiest approach for you as an individual. And that looks different for everyone when it comes to what way of eating feels the easiest. But I promise you, if you're listening to this, if you take this approach of adding in foods, adding in protein, adding things in, like even like only one habit at a time, by the way, it might not even be relating to food. It might be adding in a walk after you've eaten your meal, for example. I'm not going to go into the research behind that, groundbreaking research on that. I'll tell you quickly, recently they found that it's so powerful going for a walk after you've eaten because of the blood sugar levels, right? Balancing them out, and insulin basically being absorbed by the muscle cells and everything else as opposed to the fat cells. It could basically reverse or it could stop people getting type 2 diabetes, right? Because of the impact it has on your blood sugar levels and insulin sensitivity and everything else. Just going for, I think it was a 5 or 10 minute walk, maybe after you've eaten your food. That's another example. Adding in these things, but let's go back to food, right? Instead of, right, I'm going to eat carnivore, I'm going to follow this diet, right? You're not going to be able to stick to that forever. You've already plateaued. What you need to do is, right, how about I add in certain foods that I'm probably being overly restricted with in the week? And by the way, carnivore diet is not the right approach for, I would say, 95% of people eating strict carnivore. It's just not, right? You've got the likes of Anthony Chaffee, Dr. Sean Baker, who literally eat strict carnivore, works a treat for them, you know, and they've had a lot of success with people in their communities and everything else. But I can tell you now, I've coached a lot of these people. I've coached a lot of people, you know, I'm very disciplined myself, and it wouldn't be the best for me, for my health. And even if I wanted to achieve sustainable fat loss. So what you'll look at is, I'm telling you now, adding in foods like complete sources of protein, which you're already doing if you're having carnivore, basically cycling in more carbohydrates in the week. You know, it really depends on the person. But when I say carbohydrates, they're not all treated the same. What you're going to look at with diet and metabolic flexibility, ladies and gents, is it's kind of similar to training in the sense. If I'm going to the gym and I keep doing the same workouts, I keep doing the same program day in, day out, week in, week out, guess what? I'm going to stop getting results. I'm going to plateau, and my body's going to adapt too much, and I'm going to get diminishing results, right? The same thing goes for diet and metabolic flexibility. So, and this, more important, the psychological element, if you're looking to get to the next level with your results and weight loss, fat loss, you know, adding in some foods in the week that perhaps you're being overly restrictive with, certain types of carbohydrates, that could be perhaps a little bit more fruit, perhaps some white rice, perhaps even some potatoes if your gut digests them okay, or, you know, whatever, right? But having more flexibility in the week, and actually it's good for performance anyway, doing these things. Now, everyone's just different. I don't like prescribing a one size fits all, because some people, they could eat things like honey and sugars like that, and they end up just like eating for the sake of it then, and just going overboard. But I mean, it's very unlikely that you're going to, you know, start eating some white rice. I never see this with clients. I've never seen it, you know, you start eating some white rice and potatoes and fruit, and then all of a sudden you've gained bloody 30 kilos because you're just eating tubs of Ben and Jerry's every night. It's very rare that happens. It does happen, but it's very rare. So I wouldn't worry about that. So I would say to this person, have a bit more flexibility in the week. You're going to do better anyway with results by rotating your macros a bit more. You know, your fats and carbs are going to be based on what your goal is, right? If you're looking to build muscle and get stronger, you're going to need more carbohydrates anyway. And if you want to perform better in the gym, you know, the research is clear. Having carbohydrates is generally going to benefit your performance, especially if you're lifting heavy weights or doing high intensity stuff. You know, when it comes to losing fat, yes, when you're eating carnivore or keto, when you're having like high fat and protein and low carbohydrates, it's kind of easier because you just don't feel as hungry, depending on the types of carbohydrates you're eating. You feel more satiated because protein and fats are the top two satiating macronutrients, right? So that's the advice I would give. I would say no, carnivore diet's not the best way to lose fat long-term. It can work for a period of time. But any diet, you know, you got to look at the psychology behind it. If you're feeling restricted and you're saying to yourself, I can't have these foods, you know, humans are rebellious. I've been there myself in my bodybuilding days. If you're telling yourself those things, you're going to sabotage. You're going to be what I call a symptom eruption, where you're going to suppress these symptoms of whatever it is, you know, I can't have this, can't have that. And then you're going to just, like you're doing on the weekend, you're going to go overboard, right? It doesn't work. What the mindset and the self-talk should be, look, I can eat those foods. And I'm going to eat them when I want to, whatever foods they are, but I choose not to because I'm chasing health instead, right? I'm chasing, you know, having more protein. I'm chasing perhaps adding in some more, you know, whole food carbohydrates, you know, on my days where I train, for example, and carb cycling. So I'm not overly restricted in the week. So there's some of the tips I would give this person. You know, any type of diet is not the best diet for fat loss. The best diet for fat loss is number one, the one that feels easiest. But number two, you've come a long way on your own to lose 15 kilos, but you need to switch things up with the way you're eating. The psychological element is holding you back because you're going overboard on the weekends. So essentially you're canceling out the deficit in the week anyway. So anyway, I'm going to talk about reverse dieting today, which is what most people need to do anyway. But that kind of summarizes that question. I hope that was valuable. Again, it's hard to give a one size fits all, but that is kind of the best way to look at it when it comes to any type of diet or sustainable fat loss. So number two, how do you know when the right time? Yeah, this takes me on to my next question. How do you know when is the right time to reverse diet? I've plateaued with my results and I'm afraid to increase calories, but I know I need to. I hear you talking a lot about reverse dieting and I've been really tuning into information on reverse dieting. I know it's something I need to do, but honestly, this psychological barrier of eating more food is really holding me back. This is a fantastic question, ladies and gents, because some of my best, highest performing clients, there's one guy in particular, actually, I'll call him out because he's been on the podcast before, Brian Federico. I've coached him for over 3 years now, right? And he was already in great shape when he started, I know this is not the case for everyone. They're not all in great shape like Brian was at the start, but it's exactly the same process. He was afraid to increase calories because he didn't want to gain fat. And that's probably what you're thinking, right? The person who's wrote this thing, you know, I need to get to the next level. I need to build muscle. I need to, you know, get to the next level and get through this plateau. But I don't want to increase food because I feel like I'm going to get fat. Let's just be honest. We have that little kind of inner critic pop up. Oh, you're going to get fat if you eat those foods. Now, that's keeping you safe and that gets people a long way. You need that because that stops you from getting sloppy. But that same kind of voice or inner critic can hold you back from getting to the next level. So these are the signs that you need to reverse diet. Number one is, on this person's point, they've plateaued, right? So you may have lost body fat, you may have lost some weight, you may have got some results, whatever they look like to you. And now you've stopped getting results, you've stopped losing fat, or you just stopped seeing your body respond like it was. That's an indication that you need to strategically start increasing calories, right? And also coinciding that, so combining that with a new way of training as well, or at least a new training phase. Because that then is going to throw a curveball to your metabolism. Your metabolism is going to speed up when you start doing a new type of training stimulus. And then at the same time, if you strategically increase calories, and it depends on the person. When I say increase calories, a lot of people that come to me, for example, they might have plateaued or they might have stopped getting results or they've been struggling to lose weight, but they haven't really been tracking things. So they essentially have been eating too much and gaining fat and eating the wrong types of foods, which have been making them eat more. So in that case, just by simply tracking and then getting them to, I don't want to see their weight go down, right? And this is when you know you're doing it right with reverse dieting. A lot of people are going to hate to hear this, but this is where most people get caught up with this stuff as well, with reverse dieting and increasing calories. They're so caught up on that number on the scales. And I totally understand it. I had a chat with a client the other day and she's getting tremendous results, right? But, you know, especially women, they've been conditioned, you know, the society and all these kind of things for a long time to essentially judge a lot of them, their self-esteem based on that number on the scales, right? But it makes no sense because everyone is concerned about, everyone wants to improve the way their body looks. Everyone listening to this, or at least most of you, you probably want to get a bit leaner, lose fat, and build some muscle, or at least one of the two, right? So what you need to do is detach from that number on the scales. You need to have that metric there to guide you, right? But if your weight's going down, right, when you're trying to increase calories and drop fat and achieve sustainable fat loss, build muscle, you know, get stronger, and get through a plateau, then you're going the wrong way. Your weight should be staying the same. And how you do it is you, if you're basically, let's just say you go, right, I'm going to start reverse dieting now. You need to be tracking your food. If you can hit, let's say a gram of protein per pound of body weight, let's just give that number because it's an easy one for you to pay attention to, for an easy one for you to kind of gauge. For example, you know, you weigh 150 pounds. If you can aim to hit 150 grams of protein minimum, fantastic. Hit that number, right? Consistently eat primarily whole foods and track your foods, providing you're following a proper training program. You're not just freestyling your workouts. I mean, a proper, for example, let's just say the way I do it with clients is I'll design like a 12-week program or a 90-day training program. And I'll split that into like three phases. And each phase is going to be about 4 weeks long. Every training phase, we will increase the calories by about 50 to 100 calories a day, give or take. And keeping their weight's going to stay the same, or even if their weight might go up by a pound, or, you know, stay the same or go up by a pound or two and fluctuate a little bit there, that's fine. And what happens is they drop fat, especially for that initial 90 days. Again, if they've come to me and they've been struggling for a long time, their body responds rapidly at the start by hitting protein, increasing calories every training phase by 50 or 100 calories a day. And if you can keep, if you listen to this, if you can keep your weight roughly the same, you're going to notice though, your body should be responding. You should be seeing that you're losing a bit of fat initially, at least for the first 1 to 3 months. You're getting stronger. You need to be getting stronger. If you're not getting stronger, you're not doing it right. Because when you get stronger, your metabolism has to elevate and speed up. You hit protein consistently. You stay well fed. In other words, you eat, you don't let yourself go hungry. You're having complete meals. You're not snacking all the time. You know, you're having three meals. If you want to have the odd snack, that's fine. But you're having complete meals. In other words, high protein, a decent amount of essential fats that you'll get from, like, you know, grass-fed beef, from eggs, from salmon. You know, even like if you're going to have chicken thighs instead of breast, for example, because you're getting fats in the thighs and they taste better as well. And then, you know, you're adding in some of the good fats, occasionally, like the maybe a bit of ghee oil to cook your food, or beef tallow, or avocado, or a bit of olive oil. Make sure you're tracking those things because those fats are very calorie dense, right? A lot of people, they forget to track the olive oils and the ghee oils, and they're not accounting for like hundreds of calories. Like a tablespoon of olive oil is like almost 100, it's like 80 calories in a tablespoon of olive oil. Imagine you're having 2 tablespoons every day. You know, you're not accounting for like over 1,000 calories in a week. That's a big, big amount of calories, right? So if you can keep your weight the same, you can hit a protein target, you're eating whole foods, you're getting stronger, right? And you're seeing your body respond. You're noticing you're building muscle, your muscles are getting, you know, tighter, and you maybe dropping a little, you're dropping a bit of body fat initially. You're doing it right, but you do need a strategy. Like, it's not something you can just guess with, but that's kind of the best way to describe it. So that's how you reverse diet, really, like in a nutshell. But again, it's not like you can just do that and that's that. You need to do that for a long period of time, and you need to do it in a strategic way. So like, that's a little disclaimer there. I don't want anyone to just start eating loads of food. You know, it's got to be a strategy. So that's a sign you need to do it. Is, you know, you're stuck, you're not losing fat, you've plateaued. The other sign is, you know, your energy levels may be dropping. Your sleep is being compromised a bit. Like if you're not fueling your body enough and you're not getting enough, you know, nutrients in and enough calories, it's going to impact your sleep. It's going to impact your energy levels. Again, you've been stuck at a certain body fat percentage for a long time, not seeing your body respond. It could be simply the psychological barrier. This is a big one, right? If you feel like, again, going back to my previous question, you feel overly restricted, you feel like you're essentially sick and tired of dieting, and you know, you're losing weight, you gain the back, or, you know, one of my clients, shout out Roz, she said she was stuck with, like, you know, losing the same 5 kilos for 2 years, right? She literally was losing and gaining back the same 5 kilos for 2 years until we took a reverse dieting approach. These are all signs you need to reverse diet. And I'm just going to say it how it is, ladies and gents. It's very simple. Everyone needs to reverse diet. Pretty much every client I take on, they need to reverse diet. Now, do they lose fat? Yes, a significant amount of fat. I have one client within, you know, within 90 days, she dropped, her weight only dropped by 2 pounds, but she dropped 3 dress sizes and 30 inches in total, right? 3 dress sizes went from a size, what was it? Size 10, US size 10 to a size 4, 30 inches in total off her, you know, her waist, her hips, her arms, her thighs, all calculated 30 inches. So you're going to lose a significant amount of fat if you do it right and build muscle. And now I'm going to go back to my previous point. You're probably thinking, fuck that, I want to lose weight. Well, good luck. You're going to lose weight and you're going to keep gaining it back. And every time you lose that weight and gain it back, you're going to get, your body's getting better at fat, at getting fat and storing fat. And you're going to keep, you're going to stay stuck, and you're going to damage your metabolism in the process. I'm going to just say it how it is. You need to focus on body composition and detach from that number on the scales. Now, is there a point where my clients lose weight? Yes. Once they've been through a reverse dieting process and we've got them to where they need to get, where, you know, they're eating way more calories, they're eating more nutrients, they're stronger than they've ever been, they've built a bunch of muscle. In the process of that, they've lost fat, you know, their hormones have improved, their sleep has improved, all the health markers have leveled up. Then we can go, okay, now we can pull the plug and drop some weight and focus on doing like a mini cut, right? Where your weight's going to come down. But it's a process to get to that point where it's sustainable, ladies and gents, right? Now, I was going to do my best. That's the second one answered. I was going to do my best to answer all 5 questions today. I may get there. The other ones are a bit short, but I wanted to get into those 2 deep ones first. So got them out of the way. 3rd question. Yeah, this is a simple one. Do you recommend creatine as a supplement for strength and muscle gain? How much should I take each day? Right. So this is a great question. And I love the question on creatine because creatine is one of the most bloody powerful supplements you can take. I would say the number one. If I had to say in terms of the crossover, because it's probably the only supplement that crosses over into health and performance so much. So for health, for cognitive function, for immune system, for lots of different things, I can keep going down the list. It's really, really beneficial. And long story short, cognitive function, especially with the brain, it's hard to get enough in through food. Now, with, you know, when you're eating red meat, for example, you're getting a lot of creatine, but it's actually very, very hard to get an optimal amount of creatine. And even I take creatine and I eat, I'm going to do it in pounds because most of you are in America. I eat around about 2.5 pounds of red meat a day, and I still take creatine and I still notice benefits from it. Performance, it's amazing. It's going to make you stronger. The best way I describe creatine for strength and performance in the gym is like, let's say you go to the gym and you're doing a squat, for example, right? And you're trying to, let's just say a deadlift. Let's say you're doing a deadlift and you're trying to get as strong as you can on the deadlift. Now, providing you're fueling your body well and everything else, you know, let's say you've got like a scale of 1 to 20, right? At your best, without taking creatine, you're going to hit a 15 or a 16 out of 20, right? In terms of like, you know, the numbers on that scale, right? So a really good day without creatine, you've slept well, you're eating great, everything's going well. 16 out of 20 is where your strength was at that day. You take creatine, it's going to give you an extra 2 to 3, maybe even 4 bars. So you might get to like 18 to 19, you know, on an amazing day, you might even get to 20, right? If that makes sense with your strength. It's a very layman's terms way to describe it, but that's how it works. It's going to give you that extra edge. It's going to give you that extra kind of, I don't know, 5-10% on performance when it comes to strength. It's also going to aid recovery. So long story short, what I would say is, regardless of how much meat, if you're a vegan or you're a vegetarian, you should be taking 5 grams every single day, like 7 days a week, forever, basically. But most of you are probably not. So what you want to do, I take on average around about 3 grams a day. Again, I eat a lot of red meat, so I eat 3 grams. I have about 3 to 5 grams a day on average of creatine. But I would say for most people, let's say you take 5 grams of creatine 5 days a week, that's going to be more than enough. Or you could just take like 3 grams every day. That's going to be suffice for most people, 3 grams, but you can take 5 grams. It's not going to hurt you to take, to play it safe. You know what I mean? 5 grams, say 5 days a week, definitely on your training days. In terms of when to take it, the most important thing is you remember to take it. If you want to split hairs, take it after training to replenish your phosphocreatine levels. And if we, whilst we're on the topic, in terms of absorption, better off taking it with either salt or carbohydrates for absorption. Again, we're kind of splitting hairs. You want to just make sure you take it, but it does make a little bit of a difference. So I take it with my LMNT. So it's electrolytes. Enough you should. Not sure if you've heard of LMNT. It's spelled the electrolyte supplement. I take it with that in the mornings during my workout, basically. So yeah, creatine, highly recommend it to absolutely everyone. I think everyone should take creatine. And that's that. So fourth question, how much protein should I eat per pound of body weight to gain muscle? I aim for 1 gram per pound, but I fall a little short. So yeah, that's, I always give that round number. Look, I know like 50% of you are in America, right? So I give that as a round number. You can get away with less than that, to be honest. Now, if you're looking to build muscle, if you're in a bit of a calorie surplus, or you're reverse dieting, for example, where you're staying well fed and you're staying in maintenance calories, or, you know, a little tiny bit of a surplus of calories, then basically you can get away with less protein. So, you know, 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight would be more than enough if you're looking to build muscle and you're eating enough. So your weight's not going down on the scales, or your weight's going up a little bit, then you can get away with even like 0.8 grams. But it's just easier to calculate if you just do 1 gram per pound of body weight. That's more than enough. If you're falling a little short, for the person who's written this question, as long as you're in a calorie surplus, right? Or at least maintenance calories, so your weight's staying the same, you eat enough for your weight not to go down, then you're going to be okay on a little bit less than that, right? But I wouldn't say to go any lower than like 0.7 grams of protein per pound of body weight. Now, for everyone in Australia and UK and anywhere else in the world, in kilograms, that is 2.2 grams. I think that's the same as 2.2 grams of protein per kilo of body weight. That's the same equivalence to 1 gram per pound of protein per kilo, per pound of body weight. Bloody hell, this is getting complicated. So for anyone in kilos, it's 2.2 grams of protein per kilo of body weight. It's the same difference. So if you're in a surplus, you only need to have like, you can even get away with less. Again, like I was saying, you can get away with having like 1.6 grams of protein per kilo of body weight. But if you're in a calorie deficit, if you're, you know, dropping weights, then you can't get away. You have to have higher protein to spare muscle, to retain your muscle, right? So in pounds, you know, you need to have, what is it? If it's one, I'd say at least 1.5 grams of protein per pound of body weight. So for example, I weigh give or take around 200 pounds. So if I was in a calorie deficit, then I would be eating 300 grams of protein, although I eat that much anyway. Having more than the amount is fine. I have about, to be honest, I probably have about 350 to 400 grams of protein, but they have really high amounts. It's totally fine, ladies and gents, to go way over on protein, by the way, as long as you don't find yourself getting any digestion issues or anything like that. It's totally fine to go way over on protein. People talk about, oh, you know, protein turns into, through a process called glycolysis, it turns into carbohydrates, which there is a lot of truth to that. But when it comes to like goals and body composition and what most people want, it's splitting hairs, doesn't matter. So that's totally fine. But yeah, generally, if you're in a deficit, you need to be having at least 1.5 grams of protein per pound of body weight, or at least 2.5 to 3 grams to play. Yeah, 2.5 to 3 grams of protein per kilo of body weight if you're in a calorie deficit. So last question, ladies and gents. Hope that wasn't too much mass for you. Bloody hell, I went straight over my head half of that. So the last question, ladies and gents, is not sure whether to hire an online coach or a face-to-face personal trainer. Martin, I know you've done both. I've been scouring the market right now. I've been lifting weights for 2 years and just want to get to the next level. I'd like to know what's best for me. What do you recommend? This is a great question for anyone listening to this, right? I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you some pros and cons of each, and which one you should hire or look to hire. Now, personal trainer, who's going to benefit from a face-to-face personal trainer? Number one, someone who has little to no experience with lifting weights and really want to learn the mechanics and the technique of lifting weights. Now, you like I'd say for most people, you know, having some sort of, you know, trainer, face-to-face trainer or coaching at least, or at least someone to show you the ropes with lifting weights is always going to be beneficial. So if you have no little, I'd say 0 to 6 months experience with lifting weights, then get a personal trainer, 100%. If, you know, when it comes to like all the foundational movements, such the movements that get you bang for your buck, your deadlifts, you know, your lunges or your squats, your shoulder press, overhead barbell press, your cable rows, especially any rowing movement, right, which involves postural muscles. Everyone has a poor connection to those postural muscles. So like even like a cable row, like I get clients to do a test on this where I can test out which muscles are firing and where their weaknesses are. Cause a cable row, people can't pull their shoulder blades back properly. All those little things like having, like feedback in real time from a face-to-face personal trainer to get used to those fundamental movements, which are going to get you major bang for your buck. That's going to be a really, really good investment for you, right? So that's the kind of person I would say who needs to invest in a face-to-face PT. Now, an online coach basically is for someone like, for example, my program, I say you need at least 6 months experience minimum with lifting weights. That's the minimum prerequisite. So an online coach is generally going to help you a lot more with the stuff outside of the gym as well, right? Which really, as we know, moves the needle forward. So nutrition, I find myself, to be honest, spending most of my time helping people with the nutrition piece more than anything, really. So if you want someone who's going to help you with your behaviors with food, who's going to help you, for example, reverse diets, if you need to do a reverse diet, which most of you do, take it from me. Or if you want someone to really help you to manage your nutrition and your lifestyle stuff, you know, all those kind of lifestyle is just like, you know, how do I factor things into my week? Like, what do I need to do? What kind of program do I follow with my training and my nutrition to adapt to the way I live, to my lifestyle? You know, I've got 3 kids and I work 40 hours. How do I, that's where a good online coach comes in. Because the bottom line is you're paying a personal trainer for the hour you're with them. Like when I was with clients, I was doing this for 12 years. You know, they weren't paying me to hold them accountable outside of the gym. They weren't paying me to reverse years of, you know, poor habits with food. They weren't paying for me any of that stuff. They were paying for me for that hour and that's that. So that's what you can expect out of a trainer. Is great for the mechanics and technique in the gym and to learn how to lift and weights. It's so important to have a foundational knowledge on that and practice with those things. But other than that, yeah, you know, when it comes to piecing together a proper program, which is adapted for your lifestyle, nutrition, behaviors with food, mindset as well, you know, and more accountability when it comes to checking in with you, you know, okay, let's have a look at your progress this week. Did you hit your target with whatever that is with nutrition? Let's take these photos, progress photos, measurements, body fat, all those. Don't get me wrong. I used to do that with some clients at PT, but that wasn't being measured. That wasn't being tracked diligently like you'll get from an online coach. Because a good online coach, by the way, and a good PT, and there's a lot of shit ones out there in both fields, right? But there's also, you know, I would say, from what I've seen, 70% of, well, I would say online, you've got to be very careful online nowadays, ladies and gents, but there's a lot of shit in this industry, unfortunately, but there's some, I think it balances out because I've come across so many amazing PTs, amazing online coaches who really do live to help people, you know, transform themselves basically, right? So if you can get a good one, they're going to map everything out for you. And all you got to do, like I say to my clients on the initial call, right? The only two things I can do is lift the weights and eat the food for you. Everything else is going to be mapped out, accountability, community, structure, everything you need, right? So that's the difference between the two. If I was to put that into a nutshell, I was going to say in a nutshell, but that was a long-winded answer. Anyway, ladies and gents, I'm going to wrap this up now before you finish listening, right? As I say, like you should have paused the podcast at the start, right? If you want in on this program, at this current price, I'm taking 4 more people on before I take those prices up. Pause this and bloody drop me a DM straight away on Instagram at Martin Silver Fitness is my Instagram with the word info, or send me a message, an email, admin@optimizeyourbody.com. admin@optimizeyourbody.com. Just send me an email with the word info and we'll take it from there. Also join my email. Ladies and gents, in the show notes, there's a free training, nutrition, and lifestyle guide with structure, which the concept of help lots of clients get a good kickstart to their transformation journey. It's free. All you've got to do is just subscribe to my newsletter, which you're going to get a ton of value from anyway. You just click the link, put your email in there. You'll get the program, the 7-day kickstart guide, nutrition and training guide. And you'll also then get 1 or 2 emails off me a week with free resources and extremely valuable content. I pride myself on doing a really good job and giving out as much free shit as I can to really help people level up. You know, that's what I'm here for, ladies and gents. So go ahead and do that. And yeah, over and out. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time. See you later.